Hello, and welcome back to the I'm Doing Fine podcast. My name is Cameron Lindsay, and I'm here with Carly James to discuss coping mechanisms. And stick around later on in the episode for a very special guest. So when we're discussing coping mechanisms, there's a lot of things that go into that. And one of the key factors to remember is that coping mechanisms are what help us manage our mental health. It is any efforts that we put towards stress management. And one of the key factors into that as well is noticing if it is, you know, a positive or a negative version of that. We've talked a lot on the podcast about how to manage stress and how to deal with different things that come up in our lives. And so today we're going to try to address more of those sort of strategies and how we use when we're stressed, anxious, even depressed, or when we're feeling sad, and how these coping mechanisms can help us manage our day-to-day lives and influence us on a very daily personal basis. So diving more into coping mechanisms, Carly, so why are coping mechanisms so important?
Yeah, so now that we've talked about what coping mechanisms are, it is really important to think about why they're important and how we should really implement them on our day-to-day basis. So like Cameron talked about earlier, it's really important we learn how to cope and manage with stress. Stress is just, you know, an everyday reality that we're going to have throughout our lives. So having strategies to really be able to tackle that stress and be able to sit with it is really useful for us. Coping mechanisms help us to make sure we're maintaining our emotional well-being. So making sure we are at our best, as much as we need to be, and we can check in with ourselves and kind of think about what it might be that we're needing and how we can get those needs met. Coping mechanisms also help us to make sure we're reaching our equilibrium on a day-to-day basis, and to make sure that we are, like I said earlier, checking in when we need to be checked in and when we need some needs to be met. Coping mechanisms also can help us adjust and adapt. So if stress comes up, whether it's big or small, most of the time we have to adjust to that and recognize that, hey, I'm feeling really stressed right now, even maybe anxious. How can I help myself out in this moment? For example, maybe a change to our routine comes up and we don't really know how to face that right away, or we feel a little thrown off by it. Coping mechanisms can be something that we lean on in that moment to help us identify that change and come up with how we want to move forward with it. They can also help us to problem solve. They can help us to ask for help, and they can help us maintain healthy relationships. So with that in mind, what coping mechanisms are and how they're important, it's also important that we have healthy coping mechanisms. So today we are joined by Latrice, who is a clinician at the University Counseling Center. She's also the assistant director of the Alcohol and Other Drug Services Program, also known as AOD. And she is an adjunct professor in the School of Social Work program as well. And she is going to be talking to us today a little bit more in depth about coping mechanisms and how we can develop them.
So, Latrice, what constitutes a good coping mechanism? And if you could name some of those characteristics.
I think one of the things to definitely consider as far as what constitutes a good coping mechanism is to have a coping mechanism that is true to oneself. I think when we think about coping mechanisms in a general sense, people are like, oh, let me do a face mask, let me go for a jog, all of that. And I think a lot of times people are cookie cuttering their coping mechanisms because of what they've heard, but it really needs to be individualized. It really needs to be something that's easily accessible. So think about when you're stressed out, do you really want to do something that is hard to do or hard to reach? Absolutely not. So easily accessible and easy to do, and in some ways pleasurable for you. And so thinking about things like, sometimes people will do baths, or they'll do eat an enjoyable food or put on some clothes they like. Those are typically within someone's reach. And I think a lot of the challenges are, is that people are trying to think about coping mechanisms when they're stressed. Mm-hmm. And your brain is just not really clear when you're stressed out. And so to learn and practice and kind of test drive, if you will, coping mechanisms before you're feeling really stressed is really important. I think a final thing in regards to coping mechanisms is this idea of finding something that leaves you feeling or has your cup feeling more full. Because mm-hmm. I think sometimes people think, oh, I'm going to go to the gym. For some people, that leaves people like feeling much better and has them feeling more full. For other people, it's really draining. And so thinking about what will allow someone's cup to be full.
Yeah, I 100% understand what you're saying, because I think it's also really important, you know, thinking about what your end goal is with doing your coping mechanism. And I think that's like one of the main points that you had there was like, really just taking in mind, like, do I need to feel relaxed? Do I need to feel energized? And just kind of like gearing your coping mechanisms towards that, which is really amazing.
Yeah. And I think too, in a lot of ways, Latrice, it's clear how coping mechanisms are another form of self-care and another form of another way that we can really develop that strong self-care routine, especially when we think about how it really can just be a basic strategy that we lean on or a basic moment that we give ourselves to just really dial in on what we need. And like you said, I do think it's really important for us to think about these things beforehand. So when we're in moments of stress or in moments of high anxiety, we already have things we know we can lean on. We don't have to spend time thinking about it. Which I think leads into our next question pretty well. What do you think, or from your experience, hinders people from finding good coping mechanisms or finding and pursuing them in a certain way?
Well, Carly, that is like, I wouldn't say a loaded question, but a very full, long list of things. And I think, you know, like off the bat, I could say things like, you know, finances and that type of thing. Like sometimes people are aspiring for coping strategies that are just outside of their price point, or it's going to affect them financially in other ways. I think one of the major things is time. I think most of us feel like we don't have enough time in the day. If we spend time doing this thing, it takes away from work or school or something else. And it's really, it's really a falsehood, because, you know, from what I know for myself and what I know from the folks I work with, when they take time to cope and to actively engage in good coping skills, they actually feel like they're more able to do the things they desire to do with the time that they have. And so I think that that's a really big and major thing. And I think the other thing is that people don't always think outside the box, right? I mean, we're in the age of social media. And so you see people like laying on a beach and they're like got their sunglasses and their sun hats on, or they like going to the spa or getting my mani-pedi or whatever it might be. And so a lot of times we have some really extreme ideas of what a coping mechanism is, and it's really about kind of thinking out the box.
And I think that also ties back to like those form of like pop self-care, that basic stuff that you see everywhere, you know, the very staple, hey, this is you doing whatever it is in terms of how self-care has been popularized. And I think we can lose sight of how important it is to keep it personal and to really stay true to our own needs, for sure.
Yes. And especially as college students, you know, time is one of those valuable things. And I often talk to a lot of my friends where it's like, we feel like we have all the time in the world and no time at all. And being able to prioritize yourself is one of the most effective work that you can do. And being able to prioritize the things that you need. And that is just really, really important, because I've noticed when I'm just like, oh, I just got to finish up this paper real quick. I just got to do this. And I try to just grind through it. I'm not doing as good of work. And so being able to break for myself, release some of that tension and stress and find some healthy coping mechanisms can ultimately be doing better work, which is then also better for me. So I think it's this wonderful and beautiful cyclical pattern. And so another sort of like questions that we have for you is talking about AOD and some of the other resources that are available on campus through you.
Absolutely. So AOD stands for the Alcohol and Other Drug Services Office. And so what it is an office that focuses on what we call safe, smart, and responsible use. So a lot of times either students don't know that we exist, or when they learn that we exist, we're like, oh no, I don't want to talk to those people who are going to tell me not to drink or smoke or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's not at all what we do. So really our focus is to spread education and awareness to students so they understand what they're doing. And this is true for anything. Like you think about what we eat or like any of the disclaimers we have before we exercise, like having that initial awareness and education allows you to make better decisions. And so we really do a large gamut of things with students. We do programming that's substance free, which allows for like connecting with people and engaging a positive peer group. But we also do things that are more fun, like we do Mario Kart with drunk goggles or marijuana goggles, which probably sounds crazy, but we really want people to understand in a sober mindset what things are doing, because anytime you introduce a substance, you don't really have full awareness of how it's affecting you. I think the other thing, you know, in regards to, we do prevention education, we also do recovery work. And so for those who are either in recovery themselves, seeking recovery, or have family members who are in recovery, we provide that support and programming to students to help them navigate that. And just anywhere from, you know, I've been vaping to cope with stress, I see that it's not good for my health, I want to have a better coping strategy, we talk with students about that. If they want to quit, they want to cut back, whatever it might be. And we really appreciate having candid conversations with students. We do it individually, we do it in a group setting, where it's like non-committal, because we just want them to be aware, and we want them to have the opportunity to ask the questions that they want to ask so that they can make the choices they need to when they're out with their friends or wherever they are.
Perfect. So yeah. I guess all in all, it's very important that we pay attention to how we are taking our care of ourselves when moments of stress come up for us, and when we really do need to check in overall with our needs and making sure things are being set. And hopefully today we gave a little bit more insight in how we can start thinking about coping mechanisms and integrating them into our routines more, specifically our self-care routine. So we really appreciate that opportunity to look a little deeper into our mental health and the way we can take care of ourselves. I think also with AOD, while you were talking, Latrice, about the different resources you have, there's another availability, I think, in a podcast as well, that the AOD peer eds are putting together.
Absolutely. So if you visit our website, there's a number of things, and I'll highlight the podcast in one other. So we have a podcast called In the Mix with AOD, and it goes through a number of different topics from a number of individuals who work in our office, and it goes over substances and sex and what does that look like, and kind of some of the questions students might have, or the use of study drugs, or the impacts of vaping. And so short snippets that give some education, but from a student perspective. And we also have on our website virtual escape rooms. And so you have to use your substance knowledge or your substances knowledge to be able to unlock the two rooms to get out. And so that's also available on our website.
Awesome. Perfect. Yeah. Thank you so much for letting us know about all the resources that we have available. We appreciate you coming in today and talking to us a little bit more about coping mechanisms and how we can implement them. And hopefully our listeners will take everything in note and see how they can implement it in their own lives. But other than that, I think that is all set for today. So thank you so much for listening, everyone. And we hope to see you next month for our next podcast.
Yeah, thank you. Bye.